February 25th, 2023. Should I repeat that, Calvin, or did you get that all?
I got it, Don.
Excellent. Hey, if it's 8 o'clock on Saturday morning, it's time for This Week in Waukesha. I'm your host, Don Brown, coming to you live and local from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown, also known as the Walk Radio Studio here at 217 Wisconsin Avenue, here in the NAMI building, and right around the corner from Theodora Yeomans Park, where we are proud to honor our suffragette heritage. And before we begin this show, speaking of suffragettes, wanted to talk about how proud it was, how it was my honor to help report on the Tuesday night primaries, and very excited about the large turnout that we had here and throughout the state on very important elections. So, you know, again, the way we preserve and protect our democracy is by exercising our right and our power to vote. And so it was wonderful to see, again, such a high voter turnout. Special thanks to Kristen Hansen of Blue Sky Waukesha for enhancing my reporting efforts with some nth degree local intelligence that you could only find here from Walk Radio and Civic Media. I hope to have Kristen back on election night on April 4th. And Kristen has also agreed to appear on the show later in the warmer weather to conduct a local leadership clinic, if you will, so we can have greater participation of candidates in our local elections. Still very disappointed that with six open aldermanic seats, there's only one being contested, but more on that in future shows. And speaking of clinics and the purpose of my show, I'm honored to have for the first time here on my show the head football coach of Carroll University, Mike Budiszewski, affectionately known as Coach Buda, and his special teams coordinator, D-line coach, Garen Holly. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you for having us. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
And we're here to talk Carroll football and its newest offering, the inaugural Garen Holly Coaches Opportunity Clinic that will take place 1 week from today, Saturday, March 4th, correct?
Yes.
Great. Coach Holly, tell us about it.
Yeah, so, you know, this is a clinic for coaches, anyone in the football profession, anyone in the coaching profession. You know, in general, it's good to get ideas of how other coaches do things. You know, we'll have seven speakers, and then we'll have a clinicking opportunity afterwards, a networking opportunity, a little bit of a social. So, you know, it's next week, March 4th at 1 p.m. at Carroll University in Hosted Hall. Walk-ups are welcome. There is an online registration at Coach Holly. See you on Twitter. You can find it there. But all walk-ups are welcome. So it's just an event that I was hoping to put together with the support of Coach Buda and the program. Just a way to give back, you know, I think. And I just look back at my career and everything's just kind of been hard work. And you never know when the opportunity is going to come. So that's why that word is very important to me, opportunity.
I love
that. You just work hard and you never know, you know, where you're going to get rewarded for that work, but you just put your head down and you work. So, you know, you never know who you're going to cross in the profession. So I'm just trying to find a way to bridge the gap a little bit and, you know, get coaches from all different levels in the region connected to one another and be able to learn and grow.
Sounds great. Hey, and real quick, just want to say a special hello to Mary Jane Sanchez, who's listening, and top of the morning to you, Mary Jane. And her son Antonio still has the longest field goal record at Waukesha South. Probably would have had an amazing career at Carroll, you know, might be kicking on Sundays, but chose the academic opportunity at UW-Madison instead. But, hey, also shout out to Jared Dable, a Waukesha South football and baseball super dad. His son, Logan, was honorable mention, All-Classic 8, and so he's listening very attentively. He may even call in for a couple questions with the coaches. And how much does it cost to register for the
clinic? To register, it'll be $25, and that could be cash or check or Venmo when you get there. And that money's going towards the social aspect of it, you know.
Okay. sure.
You know, I think you want to be able to have things like this. And, you know, it's not really the goal is not for it to be a moneymaker, right?
Right.
Like at the end of the day, you know, the true reason, like I said, is just to create networking
connectivity.
And, you know, this money is going towards the social afterwards. So that's what the funds.
That sounds terrific.
Yeah.
So it starts at 1 o'clock, and about what time does it go till?
It'll run till probably 5 or 6 o'clock.
Okay.
Each speaker's got half hour, 45 minutes.
You that's
know,
terrific.
We'll take a little bit of a break in the middle of that, but yeah, it's just going to kind of roll through 6 or 7 speakers, and yeah.
Any speakers of note that you'd like to? It sounds like you, I'm sure there's a great all 7 of them, and you can name all 7 mm-hmm. if you want. But
yeah, so we have Coach Buddha is going to speak on culture.
Love it.
You know, Coach Buddha's been such an amazing mentor in my career.
Sure.
You know, you kind of asked me about, you know, some of the coaches, like who have you kind of looked up to and who have had a big effect on your career.
Sure.
And Coach Buddha's one of those people. When we worked together in South Dakota, he was just a big reason, you know, that I kind of stayed there for the 3 years I did, the bond that we were able to create, and then he essentially got me back here. So, you
that's
know,
awesome.
The leadership stuff is great that he's been able to put together for us here at Carroll. So I'd love to have him talk. We're going to have Dr. Marquise Stevenson, which is the head coach at Leo Catholic, the new head coach at Leo Catholic in Chicago.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yep. So he's going to speak on culture as well. Great background in history with him, some NFL experience as well.
Really? Okay.
There's Enoch Smith, who's a good buddy of his. They both run a O-line, D-line training program called Starts Up Front Performance. And Enoch's got some NFL background to him. Then we have Tony Aker, head coach from Lawrence University.
Okay.
Terrell Boldis is a assistant coach at Whitewater. Marcus McGlynn is the DC at Bemidji State. Lance Lewis, assistant coach at Stevens Point.
Wow. So it's a pretty widespread group.
Yeah, we got a pretty good group.
Covering a lot of different areas.
Yep. And again, just trying to highlight some minorities in the profession.
That's terrific.
As well as, just give them a chance to speak.
Sure.
Yeah.
I love that. That's fantastic. You know, it reminds me, and this is off the script, I just thought of this. Yeah, I was a Buffalo Bills fan growing up, and one of Marv Levy's favorite coaching stories was he went to a coach's clinic out in Southern California. And it was like, it kind of ran close to the July 4th holiday, but you were done by like the 1st. But the keynote was Bear Bryant. Mm-hmm. And then during the clinic, it was learned that he was going to be late, but he wanted to honor his commitment. There was an emergency or something, and he offered to come the next day. And anyone that was willing to, or was going to be later in the day, on the final morning or something, or whenever you do the last, you know, hurrah,
mm-hmm.
and it was going to be late. And anyone, coaches were invited to stick around and come see it. Most of them left, except for a small handful. And it was Marv Levy, Jim Mora Sr.,
mm-hmm.
Bill Walsh, Mike White, who had success at University of Illinois and some time with the Raiders, and a couple other names I'm missing in there. But Dick Vermeil. And they all became close friends after that. They'd formed this kind of this bond, this fraternity. They may have even coached together at different times. Like, I know Levy and Walsh had coached together at Stanford, but it was even better. It was worth the wait because it was like maybe 6 or 10 of them and Bear Bryant. And so it made for a wonderful, you know, he did his speech, but there was also time for so much like dialogue. And it was just like one of my favorite stories. And it sounds like you're going to have some of that flavor with your clinic coming up next week.
And again, that's
with
just
the names that you've mentioned,
hope,
too.
Right? Like, that's just the hope.
Sure.
You never know what the future holds.
So. Sure. Oh, that's terrific. So, and as you mentioned, you have Coach Buddha as one of the presenters, and I did a little homework on him and saw you came from Milliken, where you were assistant head coach and offensive coordinator, and you had a lot of success with the offense there and broken some CCIW records. And that's the Collegiate Conference of Illinois and Wisconsin. And for anybody's knowledge, you know, those of you that know high school football, the CCIW is comparable. You may call it the Classic Eight of Division III football. It's one of the better, or maybe the SEC of Division III football. If you're making a collegiate comparison or a D1 comparison, so having that success, and then prior to that, you were at Presentation College, mm-hmm. and that's where you two had met.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he had very similar success there. Yeah. And then since coming to Carroll, now, you signed on January 5th, 2020. And as we discussed, there were no games during that season because of COVID.
Right.
So you had to wait a full year, longer than that, before you could coach your first football game. What was that like?
Well, I tell you what, I think I'm still in the record book as the longest undefeated head coach in NCAA history. It was great.
Love it.
It was tough. It was a tough time. We had gotten our staff here. We had the kids excited to learn how to be successful, and then everything got shut down. So we had to work very, very hard to allow our guys to still work out, practice, social distance, stay safe. We were able to have that entire fall and spring without a COVID outbreak on our team, and it's the way that our guys bought into what we were doing. They followed the rules that we put in place to keep them safe and healthy, and and we got better. We added a recruiting class. We added a lot of guys to our 1,000-pound club in the weight room, and you know, we were able to build our team without having to step foot and compete on the field.
Right.
So by the time our guys got a chance to do that, they were hungry.
I bet.
And then we got our first chance down at Benedictine. My first game as a head coach, our first game as a new program.
Down in Illinois. Yeah.
And we played an atrocious first half. It was bad. But then we ended up coming out, and we walked in the locker room. I looked the guys in the eyes and said, we're going to win this game. Nice. And we went out, and we dominated the second half and beat them by two scores. And you know, that was that's a game I'll never forget. That was my first victory as a head coach. And I you know, if we look back on that first half, I don't even think I watched the film in that first half. It was that bad. But but it was good. Our kids needed to learn how to win, and we taught them that over that COVID time, and it paid off.
That's great. That's exciting. And so the success you've had with your offense at previous schools, now as a head coach, that's continuing to happen. And for Carroll, probably for the first time, we had some losing seasons, or you're kind of in the lower echelons of the CCIW before you and your staff came along. And now you had back-to-back winning seasons. And you said it was like the first back-to-back winning season since when?
In the CCIW since 1990.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
And then some scoring records too, right? Or some offensive records.
Yeah, we broke the single season passing record last year. Josh Raby, most points accounted for. He had 7 touchdowns in a game.
That's awesome.
As a quarterback,
and sounds great.
We doubled our rushing output. Our defense cut a ton of yards. And
sounds good.
Rushing and passing and all that stuff.
Put a pin in that. When we come back, we're going to learn more about the successes at Carroll under Coach Buddha's regime. When This Week in Waukesha continues, don't go away. Hey, we're back on This Week in Waukesha on an old Beach Boys classic, Be True to Your School. Very fitting for my guest this morning, head coach Mike Budiszewski, a.k.a. Coach Buddha, and his special teams coordinator, D-line coach Garen Holly, and here to promote Carroll football, which, as you're saying, gets a great turnout for the games. You're saying it's a packed house, right?
Yeah, it's awesome. They shut Barstow down during the games, and we got the stands are packed for every home game. The mezzanine on the north end of the field is packed, and you got people lined up along the fence, along the hill on Barstow. And
love it.
Tailgating starts bright and early.
Wow.
We got an awesome parent group that comes out. And,
oh, cool.
And one of our parents made a custom-made tailgate trailer that's got a pop-out slide. It's got a big screen TV in it.
Yeah.
They're there bright and early in the morning making bacon and eggs. And,
wow.
And it's an awesome experience. And it's an
cool,
intimidating place for other teams to come play. That's
really
for sure.
Oh, I love it. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw an aerial of the stadium from above, and it looked very impressive. It was a great shot, and you could definitely see that feel to it.
Yeah, it was neat. I think the coolest environment we had was homecoming this year. We played Augustana, and
nice,
we ended up winning in a walk-off. Walk-off play and double overtime.
That's right. I saw that.
It was wild. I mean, I don't think a person left the game.
You had two overtime wins this season, correct? Or last
year? We did.
Yeah.
We did, yeah. We went into overtime with Elmhurst, which that was until we didn't play our best game. Had some turnovers and some of those things, but we ended up getting both victories in overtime. So that was
fun.
That was fun.
That's great. Yeah, because people still have this feeling about Division III football that maybe it doesn't have the same turnout that a D1 program would have. But that's not the case with Carroll and perhaps the rest of the CCIW, correct?
Yeah, you know, there's differences at every level. But we play in the most competitive conference in the entire country. And I understand some of the listeners might be like, well, the WIAC is competitive. But I think the CCIW is kind of overtaking the state schools when it comes to top-to-bottom competitive nature of football.
Nice.
And, you know, we get a tremendous support from the community. And, you know, for all of those people out there looking to play college football, and there's a mentality. Some have the mentality of D1 or bust.
Okay.
This is a phenomenal level of college football. I love Division III because you have an opportunity to not only play the sport you love at a very competitive level, but you also get a chance to have some balance in life and focus on academics and
your coach and student athletes.
Yeah, prepare for your future. That's important.
That's fantastic. I've got a caller on hold. Who's our caller there, Calvin?
We got Coach Derek from Waukesha.
Coach Derek. Good morning. Or it's Coach Jared.
Sorry, Don.
Jared. I was going to say. My bad.
We were expecting Jared, not Derek. So, oh, wow, we got another caller. But Jared, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, Don. How are you?
Good, good. Say hi to Coach Buddha and Coach Holly. And let us. What's
hey,
on your
Coach
mind?
Coach Buddha.
How you doing, Jared?
Thank you guys for having me, Coach Holly as well. So a couple questions for you guys, coming from a former youth coach, which I absolutely enjoyed coaching. So what I tried to do, especially in baseball more so than football, was try to prepare players for the next level. And I say baseball more because the field changes every couple of years, and, you know, you have to pick up the pace of the game a little bit. As coaches that have moved up, how important is that for coaches teaching younger players more so about the pace of the game and preparing them for the next level as opposed to just sheer talent and kind of just, you know, moving those kids that show a lot of talent at an early age, kind of pushing them more forward rather than trying to make kids more teachable?
I think at the end of the day, you know, as coaches, you want to be a teacher, right? You want to go out there and you want to develop everybody's skill set. You want to allow the kids to have fun while they're doing it. And, you know, our philosophy at Carroll is we're gonna teach our student athletes. We're fortunate to have the greatest profession in the world, right? We get to coach football for a living. But at the end of the day, you know, we coach the top guy on our roster, just like we coach the 120th man on our roster. And we want to make sure that we develop everybody, because you want to create competition. Competition breeds success. So the more competition you can create, the more that you can develop your players, the better experience they're all going to have. And whether it's youth, high school, or college, if your focus is on development and competition, you can't steer those kids wrong in any way.
Sounds great. Hey, thanks for the questions, Jared. Anything else?
I've got one more quick question to ask. From what the coaches are looking for a recruiting standpoint, maybe some of the parents and coaches out there listening today, from a recruiting standpoint, are coaches at the next level, are you looking for more of, let's just say, like an outstanding person at one position, or the versatile player who might be able to play three or four different positions on, you know, an offense or a defense, as well as perhaps a multi-sport athlete who kind of prepares their body year-round for something like that? Like, how does the next level kind of look at what kind of athlete is best for their program?
That's an awesome question. I do serve as our recruiting coordinator as well. You know, so I could speak for, you know, at least our level, right? Like, you know, when you talk D1, when you talk FCS, right, they're working off a lot of measurables, right? Because they're investing quite a bit of actual financial money into these young men. So it's a little bit more ticky-tacky at that level. But when you kind of get down to our level, you know, you're going to be looking for those multi-sport athletes. You're going to be looking for those young men who come with great recommendations. You're going to be looking for the young men that you don't have to chase academically.
Hey, we come back from the break. Coach Holly's going to finish answering that question. A great question from Jared Dable. When This Week in Waukesha continues, stick around.
Started from the bottom, now we're here. Started from the bottom, now my whole team here. Started from the bottom, now
hey, we're back This Week in Waukesha. And that, if you're a South fan, you're familiar with that song, Drake's Started from the Bottom, which had become the unofficial fight song for the South, or rally song for the South basketball team that's playoff bound again. Third year in a row. Last year they won the Classic Eight and went all the way to the sectional finals, falling just short. One game away from going to state. This year they're back. They are hosting Janesville Parker a week from yesterday, next Friday at South. If they win, they will play the winner the very next night on Saturday. It'll either be Kenosha Indian Trail or Milwaukee Pulaski Carmen Southeast combo. So good luck to Coach Richter and his team as they head into playoff competition. You know, another good season, not the same season as last year, but, you know, having to replace three starters, they still did a great job. And against some very tough competition, you look at that non-conference schedule and they played some of the toughest teams in the state. If they had a quote-unquote normal non-conference schedule, they might have had like a 700 or 800 winning percentage when you look at the overall record. So good luck to them. But before the break, Coach Holly was answering a question from one of our callers, South Super Football Dad and youth coach Jared Dable, and it was about what recruiters are looking for. So, yeah, Coach, if you want to finish that answer.
Yeah, so, you know, I kind of hit on, you know, we are looking for versatile athletes, multi-sport athletes, you know, great young men who come with good recommendations from their communities, academically sound young men who, you know, we're not going to have to chase after. Now, we do still recruit some guys who may be borderline or you know, need support, you know, more than anything. And we have an academic success program within football specifically that we utilize to help those young men, you know, be the best student athletes they can be. But, yeah, you know, the versatility is big, you know, guys that play multiple sports, the guys who can play more than one position, you know, that's huge, whether they did it in high school or they're going to transition into another position at the collegiate level. So those are things that are very important.
Okay. So if you recruited a guy that was also a great basketball player, that would not be a problem with you guys, that he's like, hey, he'll finish the season with you, but he'll probably honor his winter training regimen that you have.
Yeah, that's usually a Coach Buddha conversation. Once we get to that point.
Fair enough.
If they're going to play another sport at Carroll, that's a conversation they'll have with Coach Buddha because he will have a conversation with the other head coach of that program to make sure that it can that the work life school balance is going to be a real thing because the kids don't understand how overloaded that they're going to be trying to manage two collegiate sports while trying to be the best student they can be.
Sure,
they don't understand what that workload's really like
because it's still a big commitment.
It's a huge commitment.
It may not be the same hours as Division One or pressures, but there's still it's a big commitment.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, too, what we talk to them about is how can you be the best football player possible while playing another sport? You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of work that has to go into that.
And,
you know, what do you have to sacrifice to manage all those hours in the day that you need to manage?
Sure.
So,
that's a fair point. So if we could go back to your clinic, because again, it's a week away. And then anyone can, they can even walk in and register. Mm-hmm. And that would include, like, youth coaches, right?
Yes. Anybody. Again, just a networking opportunity, a chance to learn. So just shake hands, meet and greet, because I know it's important for us to be able to start making deeper connections with the youth football community specifically as we're going to start youth camps this summer. And, you know, I know all of us as a staff are super open to being supportive and helping out, you know, when asked.
Sure.
We just love to get to start meeting people within the community
that's
involved.
And are coaches invited to the youth camps that you have in the summer, some of the camps that you have?
Yeah, I mean, those camps will be open.
Great.
We've got two youth camps, June 12th and 13th.
Yep.
We've got a prospect camp on June 15th and another one July 21st. So those are live now on our website and our social medias. And we're hoping that we get a ton of the youth prospects. I call them prospects, but a ton of the grade schools going into grades 1 through 8 for our youth camps to come out and enjoy our facilities and have fun getting coached by our players and our coaches and have a good time during that camp.
And this is from personal experience. They have wonderful athletic facilities there at Carroll. I got a wonderful tour thanks to Steve Staub, your athletic trainer, who's listening. Good morning, Steve. I was really amazed at the and I know it's not football, but the renovations to the field, to the basketball court was really something. That has to be a great experience, for the basketball with the improvements that they made and the continuous improvements that they're also making with the football facility in the field. Right. Very impressive.
Yeah, we redid our locker room, the gym, the pool just got redone. I mean, you're looking at over $130 million put into the Carroll campus as a whole over the last decade.
Okay.
It's an amazing place, and they're continuing to improve and continuing to grow and build.
Wow. Yeah, that's fantastic. And you talk about great recruiting tools. You know, when you have obviously a great academic university, but then on top of that, you have some real nice state-of-the-art athletic facilities. And Jared Dable had just texted. He wanted to thank you both for the answering the questions and to let Coach Holly know that you'll be getting an email from him, from Jared Dable.
Perfect.
So, he'll be watching. So he'll be looking out for that, Jared. So that's terrific. So now, do you guys do spring football like Division I do? There may be rules limiting you to that, but
we do spring football. We're going to have 14 practices starting after our spring break through April. And then one of the unique things about the NCAA is they allow you to take an international trip every 3 years. So we are taking 78 of our players to Europe this May.
Okay.
So we actually get 10 extra practices to prepare our bodies for that trip and that international game.
That's exciting,
Those will be done in April and early May, and we're really excited about that. But it'll be a great time for us to develop as a team and get ready to roll for the next season.
And you'll have some extra help in terms of intelligence with Coach Holly having you coached for the Munich Cowboys.
Yes.
And then after that, it was a team, the Vasa. What was their name in Finland?
Yeah, so it's Vasa.
Vasa
Royals.
The Vasa Royals.
Yeah. The W is pronounced as a V. Yeah,
that's right. I should have known that.
Yeah.
The background. That's the son of a Latin teacher. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, and how long were you over there in Europe for?
So a total of 8 years.
Wow.
I was blessed to cut my teeth in Europe and a lot of really cool opportunities as a young coach. You know, I got to be a DC at 25 years old. And then I got to be a head coach at 29. You know, all situations, I had no idea they were coming. But, you know, kind of like I talked to you before, you know, you just never know.
So
you just got to work hard. And, you know, I tell this to a lot of young coaches, so I hope, you know, young coaches or, you know, people that want to get into the profession are listening. And just in life, right, like just be undeniable.
Sure.
You know, put in the work and be undeniable. You never know what's going to come your way.
Okay. That's fantastic. What a great experience. And that's – you know, this mindset for a lot of American kids is that it's, hey, you want to go, you know, play for a D1 program, you know, Wisconsin, you want to be a Badger or maybe one of the other Big Ten schools, and you want to play in the NFL. And, you know, that's a very small percentage of young athletes that get those opportunities, as you guys know. But in the world of football, there's so many other great opportunities, D2, D3, and then also even afterlife, playing, coaching in other countries. And USFL has returned to some degree. Mm-hmm. So there is life after, you know, if you're not the number one pick, and that there's so much more out there in the world of football, even just to enjoy if you can't make a profession out of it, if you're doing it avocationally as a youth coach or helping like your local high school team.
Yep.
It's a greatest sport in the world. And, you know, some people want to play and coach as long as they can. I mean, that's why I don't work a day in my life. I love what I do, and I love teaching young men. And I get to work with some awesome guys and staff, and the support we get from the greater Carroll community, it's been awesome. But if you can do it, keep doing it.
Sure. So, and I don't know if you can see from the Facebook live stream, but I'm looking across at two very young guys. You know, you think coaches, and you think guys that maybe look like they'd be a little bit older and maybe a step shorter, but I see guys that look like they could still play. And I was asking them this during the break. Coach Budo is a quarterback at Oshkosh. Coach Holly did some quarterback in high school, and then in college was a cornerback at Missouri Valley, correct? But I asked, you know, would you still be willing to put the pads on during practice and or maybe even be, what do they call it, quarterbacks with the red pennies on that they can't touch? Any interest there?
I mean, there's always a chance, you know. There's always a chance.
Coach Holly's pretty tough, so I still claim that I could go out and throw 100% on 7-on-7. And our kids, if they ever take me up on it, you know, we'll see. But I'm too old for that stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure. Sounds great. So, hey, if you don't mind me asking a local question, because as you know, we were talking about, South and North have been successful so far in their petitioning efforts to move their football programs out of the Classic 8 into a more equitable Parkland Conference. And as you know, again, as Division III coaches, you know, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, do you support that idea?
You know, there's a lot of politics that go into it locally and statewide with the WIAA. And at the end of the day, you want your players and your student athletes to have a competitive a competitive experience, right?
Yeah.
No one wants to go into a season knowing that there's a chance I can win one game or two games. You want to have a competitive experience.
Yeah.
If that means moving conferences, so be it.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you know, that's for each individual school and district to decide. But
sure.
I mean, the Classic 8 is some of the best football in the country.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome.
In the country. Yes.
There's a lot of good football. I mean, there's a reason that that a lot of schools, and you'll see it in May when all the Division I schools go on the road recruiting, that they come to this area to meet with specific guys, especially some of the big boys up front.
Yeah.
Because, you know, this area pumps out some of the best prospects in the country.
Yeah. And, you know, we're also talking about Coach Young at Catholic Memorial, and even though they're not in the Classic 8 anymore, they're certainly Classic 8 caliber. Mm-hmm. And one of the new legends with Coach Fickell, his very first visit as Wisconsin head coach was to Coach Young at Catholic. There were a couple of players he was interested in.
Yeah, so. Coach Fickell's been doing a great job too. It's when you get somebody that comes in that disrupts the status quo.
Yeah.
Of a program as storied as Wisconsin, it's pretty neat.
I got to take my hat off to. I'm supposing that's the AD at Wisconsin because the belief process out there was that Jim Leonard was going to be the full head coach and great coach in his own right. But that bought UW the time to go behind the scenes and connect with Coach Fickell. And it was a really great red herring they created because that's hard to do. And the fact that they pulled that off was amazing. And you know, Coach Leonard will land on his feet somewhere.
Yeah.
So
it's a crazy business.
Yeah. You know, Fickell was in the same boat. He was the acting head coach at OSU about 10 years ago. And, you know, wasn't quite ready for prime time in that capacity, but they knew he was a great football mind. And so, yeah, so it's exciting that Wisconsin becomes part of his story. So, but enough about them. We're back in Waukesha talking Pioneer football.
Go Pios.
And like I said, really excited that you don't have very many empty seats, if any, on game day on Saturdays.
Yeah, it's awesome. We get a ton of support. We started a new tradition when we got here. We eat our pregame meal in our cafeteria, and then we actually have the marching band drumline walks us down East Avenue
through
the tailgate out to the stadium.
Okay.
And it really creates an awesome, like, college game day atmosphere.
Sure.
And so the band has been huge supporters, the dance team, the cheerleaders, everybody, athletic administration, the other teams.
Neat.
So we'll take our entire football team and go to a volleyball game.
Oh, neat. You're supporting the other teams.
Once that ends, we'll go out to the soccer games.
Sure.
We showed up to men's and women's basketball games and baseball and softball. So that, you know, we want to support the other teams on campus so they come support us as well.
That's great. That's great. Okay. We have 1 minute before the next break, but who are some of the players we should be looking out for this fall? Some of your real standouts that have in terms of leadership and ability.
Well, you know, we graduated only four young men last year. So 96% of our roster is coming back.
You must be so thrilled.
It's exciting.
Not a prospect.
It's exciting. we can get to more of the names once we get to the break. But
yeah,
it's, we're very excited about the prospect for the 23 season.
Sounds great. So yeah, when we return, we're going to talk about the 23 season for the Carroll University Pioneers, as well as some other final thoughts on the on Coach Holly's Opportunity Coaches Clinic when This Week in Waukesha continues. Don't go away. Hey, we're back on This Week in Waukesha, and you're listening to David Bowie's Heroes. And I was just about to talk about the two heroes I have in front of me, Coaches Buddha and Holly, head coach and special teams coordinator, D-line coach, respectively. But another hero has popped into the office getting ready for his next show, and that's Jim Santel with Morning Cannolis. And Jim has graced myself and my guests and Calvin with some cannolis from Glorioso, some showing you on the live stream. Have you ever seen anything more beautiful in your life at this hour of the morning? So stick around for Morning Cannolis. But back to our other heroes here, coaches Buddha and Holly. And I like to ask, because I've had other high school coaches, as you know, and I'll ask, like, who's your coaching role model? Like, maybe at the professional ranks or college or – and they gave me the same answer that Don Radomski gave me, the North baseball coach, that it was a high school coach that you guys had or somewhere at the high school level or collegiate level that made a big impact on your adult formation and your professional formation. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, you take the good and bad from guys that you've played for and coached with, now that we're seasoned coaches in our own respects. You know, you look at some of the coaches that you've worked with and played for that, you know, are amazing men, and you try to take as much away from that as you can and use that in your own professional career.
Absolutely. That sounds great. And then I was talking earlier about as looking very young and for holding, you know, higher ranking positions at the collegiate level. Does that work to your advantage when you're coaching these young student athletes, or do they think that, you know, hey, this guy's almost a peer and I might be able to,
I'm 40. I think I'm a dinosaur to most of my players.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Yeah. So there you go.
You know,
you feel that role model aspect.
Yeah. You know, fortunately for me, black don't crack. So I'm pretty good there.
Sure.
But no, I think it's just right. Like when you're honest and you're personable with the kids, that's what matters, right? They know when you're full of it and you're trying to be someone that you're not.
Yeah.
So I just think being who you are with these kids and, you know, the culture that you have to your program and recruiting the kids. You know, through the recruiting process, you find out who they are, right?
Yeah.
So it's we talk a lot about, you know, our moniker's family. Forget about me, I love you. So, you know, you're not just inviting random people into your family.
Right.
So you know, we're pretty selective, you know, with who we offer to come into our family. And that molds to the connection that we're able to make with the kids.
Okay. Like that. And before the break, we were talking about who some of your – you have 96% – of your team returning. So graduation doesn't hurt you at all.
Seniors. This year didn't. Yeah. I mean, we had four seniors that we graduated last year and they're all great guys. I mean, they went through a coaching change. They went through COVID and they finished out their eligibility, which it was difficult. I mean, cause they obviously came in with more than four, but
did they have that red shirting option then that other like Division I program?
Yeah.
Had?
So you cannot redshirt on Division III. But everyone got an extra year of eligibility.
They made the exception.
COVID.
Okay, great.
So they got 13 guys coming back this year that could have graduated last year but came back for their COVID year.
They spread their coursework out then too, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice. So most of the guys will finish up their degrees in the fall while playing football. So
okay.
Yeah, I was pretty excited about that.
Sure.
The guys we got coming back, and then we have one more class that has a COVID season if they choose to take it, and We'll go down that road when we get there.
But it sounds like from a depth perspective that you got to feel really good, especially having two winning seasons.
Right.
And the experience level. And to the four that you did lose, were any of them in these like key spots like quarterback or running back, you know, or skilled position?
So one was a backup kicker that came in and played a little bit for us. Another one was an outside linebacker, got some playing time. Starting safety in John Rao. And he missed
Those are big shoes to fill.
Yeah, he missed a few games due to he had a surgery on his finger, he had jersey finger. And so, you know, we played half the season without him.
Jersey finger sounds more painful than blowing your knee out. I've blown my knee out.
Yeah,
so.
Jersey fingers, it's not a fun deal. And then the last one was our starting long snapper, actually. Sure. So he started long snap and short snap for us for the last two seasons and did a really good job.
And all key roles, but guy, you know, like not
right.
except for the safety spot.
Right.
So that's terrific. And then looking ahead, how many, like, senior, I guess that's tough because you have guys that have
right.
that, so that's still a tough count for you to make. But it's a great recruiting mechanism, knowing that for these high school age people that there's going to be some opportunities as they become sophomores and juniors.
Right. Yeah, and
the way the rotation's working.
Our recruiting class this year was a little bit smaller than it has in the past.
Sure.
Just because, you know, we don't want to have 150, 160 kids on our team.
Right.
Because then they don't get the personalized coaching. They don't get the personalized academic attention from our staff.
Okay.
But so we brought in a little bit smaller class this year to keep our roster at the size that we want it to be.
Okay.
So that our guys can still have that experience. That's all. That's our. That's our job, is to make sure that our guys have a great student athlete experience. And
that's great.
But yeah, I mean, we're excited. We're to the point now where, you know, we're going to be one of the older teams in the conference.
Wow.
Versus the last 2 years, we were by far the youngest team.
Sure. Sure. That's exciting. So, and then any projections you're willing to make this early on, or just, I mean, again, 6-4, 2 years in a row, especially given the past record.
Right.
There's a lot to build from that.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think Coach Holly and I can nod our heads and say we don't want to be 6-4 again.
Okay.
You know, we came here to achieve greatness, and that's tough.
Sure.
Right, narrow is the path to success.
Yeah.
Even more narrow, the path to sustained success, and I think that's where we're at right now. We've had immediate success within this new program, and now it's time for us to move forward and build on that success. And you know, I know our guys are going to work their butts off.
Yeah.
I know we're going to be the best version of Pioneer football that we can be in the fall, and let the chips fall where they might.
So you've got a solid foundation in just 3 years and two seasons,
correct?
And then you keep adding to this, like I said, with this with Coach Holly's Opportunity Clinic. What a great addition to a winning program. In the time we have left, any final thoughts on the clinic, on what why coaches can't miss this event?
Yeah, again, you know, you never know where life's going to take you. You never know, you know, the guy's hand that you shake or the guy that, you know, you sit down next to is going to show up again in your life, or vice versa. You show up for them in their life. So, you know, I just welcome anyone to come out and check it out. Again, looking to start this year one and build on it each and every year, you know, as long as I'm here, which I plan to be for a while. So, just welcome anyone out.
I mean, who would have thought that we had to go to South Dakota to meet each other and 12
That's
years right, later.
Presentation College.
Right. Yeah. 12 years later, I hire him and Coach Pfeffer and Coach Ackerman to be my full-time coaches. And we all met out in South Dakota. And I met my wife there. Hi,
wow.
Kendra. And, you know, it's crazy that you never know where football is going to take you and who you're going to meet. And I was fortunate enough to hire some of the best coaches and some of my best buddies to come and do this thing together with.
I love it. Head coach Mike Budiszewski, special teams coordinator, D-line coach Garen Holly of Carroll University, Pioneer football. And please put on your calendars Coach Garen Holly's first annual Coaches Opportunity Clinic at Carroll next Saturday starting at 1 o'clock. Thanks, everybody, for joining us today. Remember, safety is everyone's responsibility. Please vote for Warren Zevon to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where he rightfully belongs. And remember, safety is everyone's responsibility. Bye for now, and see ya!